I was looking at your performance history, and I was really blown away by the fact that you took your wonderful jazz voice to The Voice. Tell me about that.
Well, it's an interesting one because Australia seems to be the only place in the world left where they don't have any variety shows on television. You know, it used to be that you had all these amazing shows on TV where people, you know, independent artists could come on if they had an album or something, and you used to see all these incredible different artists. And then, you know, the Hey Hey It's Saturdays and those kind of things. And then it seems to have disappeared. You know, in England, you've got talk shows and all sorts of things, but here there really is no platform for an independent artist to go and show the world what they're about. So I thought, well, television is such an amazing currency. Let's go and sing some jazz for the people.
Well, I thought it was very clever. So, what was your experience?
It was an interesting one. You know, when you go on there, they really keep it quite reality of it. You know, like they make it, you don't know anything that's happening. They keep, you know, it's very much the world of television, so that when you get onto that stage, you're feeling as nervous as can be, and all the things. But I actually had a really great experience. The response from it was fantastic. A lot of people were like, I don't even know what you just sang, but I loved it. And so I chose to sing a really old classic, you know, Bye Bye Blackbird. And most of the other contestants had never heard that kind of music before, or even scatting, because that's my forte. And it was a really great experience. I turned all four chairs, and it was really lovely to know that jazz was out there being loved by people who didn't know they loved it yet.
I thought that was pretty interesting myself. I was the kind of music that you do. Another thing that I noticed is that you are very generous. You are part of performances where you introduce other artists to audiences.
That I really love. So, you know, without people in the community, like our community is so small here in Australia, and even in further afield, overseas as well, the jazz world, there is so much space to share the stage and share music. Yeah, I'm not sure what happened or when it happened when people started sort of, you know, coveting the scene. I just love that the scene is so full of incredible artists, and it makes me a better musician, you know, for learning about people and meeting new people. Thank you. That's really lovely, Annie.
Yeah, you'll tell me about your love affair with jazz. How did this happen then? Because you're not just a singer, you're also a violinist, which is also a very curious combination, isn't it?
That's right. So, I need to start out by saying I had no choice in the matter. My father was a jazz pianist. My brother is a jazz bass player. And growing up in South Africa, jazz, particularly South African jazz, is very much part of my DNA. And there was a time where I rebelled against it. I didn't want to be a jazz musician. Who wants to be a jazz musician? And I went and off and did ballet and musical theater, and then it came round and bit me in the ass, so to speak. And I ended up, how lovely that I could play music with my father, you know, all the way until he departed us. He was a phenomenal musician, and I learned so much from playing with him and my brother Tvi, who also lives in Melbourne here. So jazz is sort of just inside me. I don't know if it's a choice. I don't know if I have a choice playing jazz.
Well, where did the violin come in? Why
Yeah,
violin?
my pops used to teach me piano, you know, as every musical parent tries to do to their kid. I was quite precocious and belligerent and full of, you know, theatre and acting and drama. And I don't remember it, but apparently I turned to him and I said, I don't want to play what you can play. I want my own instrument. And he was like, all right, well, fine. And I think we picked up the flute for a hot minute. And then it was one of those things where someone said, well, you know, there's a violin teacher, I know this. And I picked it up and off I went. And I remember my whole life, Annie, so many people saying, you know, well, you'd better if you're going to make a career out of music, you're going to practice your scales and do all those things. But everyone was very much against being diverse in what you practiced. You know, it was always, you know, that what is it, master of none, jack of all trades,
master
of none.
Yeah.
But my tendencies are always to like delve into different things. And so as a kid, I always remember, yes, I played classical, but I always wanted to jam with my dad. And I'm so glad I never sort of succumbed to those people sort of saying, no, nope, you've got to play classical music and classical music alone. Because now I'm, you know, I get to travel around the world and improvise on the violin and vocal, which is, for me, one of the most magical things to do.
Well, I was thinking that having listened to a variety of your performances online, I'll have to say, that it's a very exciting and interesting variation of things that you do. And as an audience member, it's very enjoyable.
That is such a beautiful compliment. That is exactly where I want to be. Of course, the music is for myself and it's for my creative process. But, you know, having an audience there and them feeding off it. And I mean, as you can probably hear, I run at the speed of many, many buffalo. And I've got so much energy and I want to share it with everyone and I want to do this. And this particular concert that I'm doing at the Counts is a bit of a new one for me. I'm doing a lot of my original stuff, and there's going to be a string quartet playing jazz.
Yeah, interesting.
So two violins, a cello, bass and drums, and myself wailing on the top.
How fantastic. I mean, I read that, you know, they talk about you as sort of combining African jazz, your African sound. What does that mean, in fact?
Yeah, so growing up during quite a political tumultuous time in South Africa, I was one of the last generations that still had an all-white school.
Yeah,
I was in high school when the system changed, and we were, for want of a better word, allowed to have people of color at the school, which is horrific and extraordinary that in my life that was still happening. And I came from a family that really opposed what was happening politically and really tried to fight for the rights of black musicians. My father was very instrumental in, he wrote a lot of black musicians into the constitution, the new constitution, so that they could get money for their songs and their, you know, that a lot of white people had benefited from. And so my father was really vocal and outward about including people of color in the music world. And when you grow up with that sort of sound, the sounds of freedom, the songs of struggle in your immediate environment, they have a very huge effect on your creative choices. And so South African jazz is so part of my creative choices here in Australia. And my brother and I and my dad, before he passed, we kept it very much alive here in Melbourne, playing a lot of South African jazz, a lot of traditional South African jive. These incredible artists that never got a look in during apartheid. And every Wednesday night at a wonderful little spot called Old Plates on Brunswick Street, South African jazz is being played by a host of amazing Australian artists. So we've definitely started a revolution here.
Yeah. So when you say that you're going to have a string quartet and you're going to infuse the jazz rhythms at the Count on May the 1st, you're basically thumbing your nose at tradition and creating a new sound, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Yes is the simple answer. But also, as someone who plays violin and someone who sings, I'm often intrigued by the sound that those two, that combination makes. So I sing and play in tandem. And I thought to myself, well, hang on, I know all these wonderful violinists and all these wonderful musicians. I wanted to create a very space. An environment with lots of space for the violin and the voice to be shown. So it's going to be two violins, a cello, who will be playing the chords, the sort of the jazz interesting chords, and then I've got a jazz bass player and a jazz drummer who will be there. Think of it as, instead of the keyboard playing all the chords, the stringed instruments are going to take flight.
Ah, yes. Well, it's interesting to me because, especially as this is, the Counts is a quite a intimate space. And I was thinking the other day, I actually had the pleasure of listening to a Middle Eastern band that had a double bass, right? And we're up very close, and the vibrancy of that instrument and the musicality was a real present to the audience. And I've got a suspicion that what you're going to be doing is going to be similar. You know, where people, it's not packaged, it's enjoyed music.
That's right. And this particular gig will very much be a listening, intimate thing. I invite everyone just to come on this lovely journey. All the songs have a story, and I'm hoping to really draw everyone in with the beautiful sounds. I mean, if you think about it, it's just a whole lot of strings and bows and creating atmosphere. You're absolutely right, that intimacy of the Counts. And also just how wonderful that there's somewhere, you know, a venue that is so supportive of new works like this. You know, the Counts really opens its doors up to some interesting and lovely concerts, don't they?
Yeah. You're a band master, aren't you?
I am indeed the master, Annie.
Tell me about that, because, I mean, being a female, this is, I mean, you shouldn't make too much of it, really, because gender shouldn't make a difference, but does it make a difference?
It does. Look, it doesn't make a difference in my world, but it makes a difference when a young female, you know, sees me on stage and goes, wow, okay, you can do that. It's I know gender shouldn't make a difference, as we say, but it does make a difference. The visibility of someone in my role, you know, someone as a band leader, a composer, an artist, an instrumentalist, particularly very vocal for, you know, gender reform. Someone, you know, there might be someone who goes, wow, I didn't know you could do that. And that right there is where it matters. If a young girl goes, ah, my, you know that thing of you can't be what you can't see. Sometimes you just need permission to do something pretty crazy and pretty different to what you're thinking, and it might just be seeing someone up there doing it.
So how do they get tickets for this particular event at the Counts on May the 1st?
Yeah, so it's called the Counts, and it's that's named after Paul Grabowski, and it's the jazz club at Monash University. And if you type in Fembelling, the Counts, it is the first thing that comes up. Or, of course, everything is on my website, which is fembelling.com. I'll have a link to things there. And I would just love it if people came and, you know, had a wine, had a cup of tea, and just sat back and listened to some songs that are making their world premiere.
Show them all that you are made of. Stand up tall, stick your chest out. You take all the time that you need. Make your mark, you can change your story's end, and you should take a lead. Find your voice, don't be silent. You don't want them there to be. Raise up your voices, this is how we teach the world to change. We gotta show the world how it's gonna be. Without diversity, we find unity. Raise each other up, say in the tone, and kick some butt. Doesn't matter what you have inside your bank account. I don't care what you look like. Time to show us what's in your soul. of your voices. This is how we teach the world to change. We gotta show the world how it's gonna be. Without diversity, we find unity. Sage Thou set the tone.